NDR Info. Nachtclub.
So, bei mir im Studio in der zweiten Stunde ist, wie gesagt, Zola Jesus, alias Nika Rosa Danilova. Und sie kommt gleich zu Wort, aber erstmal Musik von ihrem neuen Album. Und wir hören jetzt Zola Jesus mit Go Black Sea. Go Black Sea von Zola Jesus von ihrem neuen Album Tiger. Have I pronounced that correctly or not?
Yes.
I have, thank goodness for that. Right, well, welcome to Hamburg. And thanks very much for coming down.
Thank you for having me.
And you said you had a good time in Berlin last night, which is good. So it's been a good frame of mind for tonight.
It's been very good, yes.
Good. Yeah, well, actually, we were scheduled to meet about 2 years ago when you played at the Dockville Festival in Hamburg. And I think it's the only time in my life that an interview was cancelled because of rain. And usually sporting events get cancelled because of rain.
Yes.
And in this case, it was the whole place completely waterlogged, so they actually cancelled the interview.
That was a very extreme weather circumstance.
But I mean, you were even younger then. So if I'd met you then, you would have been even younger than you are now. But you're still really young and just made like a fifth album. So it almost sounds like a case for the Guinness Book of Records, actually making five albums at the age of 25.
Yeah. You know?
Do you feel that young and fresh in that respect? Or do you actually feel almost like a veteran after five albums?
Yes, I don't feel young. I've been doing it for quite a long time. And the amount of growth you go through for one album is immense. So five albums is unbelievable.
Right. Ja, also Nika meinte, dass sie kommt sich gar nicht so jung vor. Sie hat schon 5 Platten gemacht, sie ist nur 25. Und ich meinte, das ist rekordverdächtig eigentlich, so viele Platten schon in jungen Jahren gemacht zu haben. But when you actually first started off, did you actually seem to yourself to be incredibly young? Or did it just seem like the most normal thing in the world to do at the time to start off at such a young and tender age, so to speak?
Yeah, I actually kind of felt like I was starting late because I went to university and I didn't get started on my career until I was maybe 20 or 19. And in my eyes, I should have started when I was 15.
Okay.
So, but I've been making music all of my life, so it's been very natural.
Sie sagt, dass sie tatsächlich das Gefühl hatte, eher spät mit Musik angefangen zu haben, weil sie in der Zwischenzeit studiert hatte. Und deshalb fing sie mit 19, 20 erst an, überhaupt Musik zu machen. Und am liebsten hätte sie mit 15 angefangen. Sie kam sich selbst dann wie ein also Spätsünder vor. And, I mean, it's obviously the case when you've had time to gather experience because of the stuff you've done in the past. And this album seems to me to be quite a bold leap forward in terms of achieving a bigger sound than you've actually achieved before. Mm-hmm. Does that bigger sound just come with maturity, or is it like a conscious stance to go for something kind of less lo-fi in that respect?
Yeah, again, the more you do, the more you have built up in your arsenal of things you've done. And so, you know, I never want to repeat myself as an artist, and the only way to go is to make things cleaner and bigger. And in order to do that, you need to start peeling back the layers.
Right, okay. Sie sagt, ein ganz natürlicher Prozess, dass jetzt ihre Musik reifer klingt. Sie hat einen größeren Sound bewusst angestrebt. Und sie meinte, es kann unmöglich sein, dass man auf der Stelle tritt als Künstlerin und man will unbedingt irgendwie auf irgendeine Weise sich weiterentwickeln und sich erneuern. Und die einzige Art, um das zu tun, ist, sich wirklich damit zu beschäftigen, wie man quasi ein neues Kapitel dann also starten kann. And I mean, is it actually got tiring at all to actually, you've been here quite a few times now, although you say you're already just 25. I mean, does that process actually of coming on tour all the time, does it seem like a rigmarole, or does it still give you, does it like a case of artistic impetus in a sense that, because it kind of keeps things fresh because you're allowed to present the stuff live and so maybe it gets a new dimension, new context to it?
Definitely. I think that it's a part of the whole cycle of being a musician. You have to create the thing, and that's one war, but then another war is trying to communicate it to people every single night all across the world, and have to stand by your vision consistently for years, and that's just part of the process of being an artist, I think.
Okay, and that seems like just a matter of just natural for you. It's just like second nature to you, or even first nature in that respect.
Yeah, I mean, still touring is extremely hard. It's hard on the body, on the mind, on everything. I'm falling apart. I'm bruised, but yeah, it's part of it.
Right. Okay. Ne, sie sagt, dass es tatsächlich eine Herausforderung ist, natürlich als Künstlerin dann immer wieder auf Tour zu kommen. Sie ist nicht zum ersten Mal hier und obwohl sie so jung ist, war sie schon mehrmals in Deutschland. Und sie steht dazu, dass es einfach zur Arbeit dazugehört. Und es ist für sie ganz selbstverständlich eigentlich, dass man einfach versuchen muss, beständig zu bleiben und einfach seine Kunst vorzustellen. Und das ist einfach sehr anstrengend. Und sie meinte, sie hat von Prellungen geredet im übertragenen Sinne. Sie meinte, das gehört einfach dazu. Was soll man dann machen? So, do you actually have a favorite song on this new album of yours? Or do you not have such a thing as favorites? Because do you think it's a bit petty to think in terms of favorites?
Well, there are songs that I feel like I appreciate the challenges I had to go through to get to them. And one of those songs is Nail, because it's significantly an a cappella song. And that was very challenging for me to overcome the vulnerability that I have with my voice and with people hearing my voice and it being starkly available to people with nothing to hide behind.
Right, okay. And you actually like hiding behind things, really?
Everyone does. But I like even more being kind of naked to the world and having to push yourself and make yourself uncomfortable.
Right, okay. Ihr Lieblingsstück auf dem neuen Album Tiger ist Nail. Und das ist im Grunde genommen ein A-Cappella-Lied. Und sie meinte, das ist ganz wichtig für sie, weil die Verwundbarkeit, die sie empfindet, wenn es um ihre Stimme geht, also sie hat diese Verwundbarkeit überwunden gewissermaßen, weil das Lied ihre Stimme offenbart und sie kann sich nicht verstecken. Und sie meinte, sie versteckt sich schon gerne so hinter anderen Schichten, wenn es irgendwie geht. So geht es allen Leuten, meint sie. Aber in diesem Fall, dann ging das einfach nicht. Und sie ist aber nur froh darüber, dass es so gelungen ist. Und deshalb ist es so eher so fast heimliches Lieblingsstück. Und das hören wir jetzt. Nail von dem Album Tiger von Solar Jesus. So das war Nail von dem Album Tiger von Solar Jesus. Und Nika, alias Solar Jesus, ist bei mir im Studio gerade. Of course, a lot's been said about the fact that it's a Russian word that most of us don't understand, but it's been explained to us all now. So now it's all about being, it's like forest land, isn't it? Sort of like pine forests, mm-hmm. whatever, which is corresponds to the kind of the area where you grew up, which has been well documented in Wisconsin. I mean, is it an attempt maybe to come to terms with childhood in some way to actually reflect that? And are you actually kind of, by using that as an album title, in a sense, kind of going back in time to how you grew up, or?
In a sense, yeah. I think that the last record that I made was made in Los Angeles, which is the complete opposite of where I grew up. I dyed my hair bleach blonde, and it was I kind of tried to destroy myself in order to create this world that I felt like was completely alien to me. And for this record, I wanted to come back to my roots and figure out what feels native, what feels primal inside of me and deeply emotional. And that has to do with how I grew up. And how you grew up is kind of how, that's how you're formed and that's how you're always going to be, you know? And you can put yourself in a different location, but you're always going to be that person from the woods, or that person from the beach, or that person from the city. And also with the lineage between Taiga in Russia and Taiga in North America, just the idea that that lineage and that thread is always with you. It's always going to follow you.
Yeah, because you're actually half Russian, aren't you? So
yeah, I have Russian roots. So.
Right, okay. So that's relevant in that respect, yeah. Ja, sie sagt, dass das Album tatsächlich Taiga heißt, also es heißt auf Russisch sowas wie Fichtenwälder. Und sie meinte, das ist eine Darstellung also von dem Ort, wo sie als Kind aufgewachsen ist, im Bundesstaat Wisconsin. Und es war natürlich eine sehr ländliche Erziehung, die sie genossen hat. Und dieses Album ist auf gewisse Weise so eine Frage von so zurück zu den Wurzeln, also wo sie herkommt. Und es ist emotional gesehen sowas wie so ein Urschrei, also wie es einfach angefangen hat. Und es entspricht einfach so ihrem eigentlichen Wesen. Wenn das letzte Album ist in Los Angeles entstanden, und da hatte sie damals für das letzte Album ihre Haare blond gefärbt und versucht im Prinzip ihre Vergangenheit zu verleugnen. Und sie meinte, das ist im Prinzip Unsinn, das kann man nicht machen. Sie meinte, man bleibt, wie man ist. Und wenn man zum Beispiel am Strand aufgewachsen ist oder in der Großstadt, dann merkt man das und sie ist eben vom Land. Did you actually suffer as a child or growing up in any way about being considered to be like a bit of a country bumpkin or whatever? Did you actually feel you had something to prove then? When you got a bit older, or maybe more than people who grew up in Brooklyn or something, yeah.
Well, of course, you always idealize the opposite of what you were born with. And so when I was younger, I always wanted to live in the city. I wanted to have that sort of cultured experience that urbanites have. But, you know, once you go and experience that, you realize that what you had was very special. And I've come to really appreciate that.
Right, okay. Sie sagt, dass sie tatsächlich, also erstmal versucht hat, das zu verleugnen, wo sie herkommt. Und sie meinte, sie hat als Kind und als Jugendliche wollte sie unbedingt ein Großstadtkind sein. Aber sie meint, dass man sich damit abfinden muss. Und es ist einfach, man muss einfach damit leben, wie es ist. Und es hat auch seine Vorteile. Es hat auch nicht nur Nachteile. Okay, so we're going to hear one of the shortest songs on the album now, which is the title track, the first track on the album. Here's jetzt Tiger, das Titelstück von dem Album von Solar Jesus. Yeah, what about kind of the benefits in that respect? I mean, do you think that maybe your music stayed a bit more pure because of that upbringing? Do you think that maybe it would have been, if you'd been, I don't know, in some way corrupted by sort of city centre life, you've grown up in places like London or New York, mm-hmm. where you're just exposed to just so much that you can just probably almost be like an overkill, and you won't have had that overkill, I presume.
Yeah, and I think also, I mean, people always ask, what are your influences? And growing up, I just made music. I didn't think about, because I didn't have any point of reference. I had no friends that were into music. There wasn't a big music culture where I grew up. And so music was always extremely personal and innate in a way. And so, yeah, I think that if you live in a bigger city, you have all these resources to learn about music and to have friends that are in music and to get influenced in ways, but I guess in some ways it was a more pure upbringing.
Right, okay. And you actually still feel that effect now then, do you think?
So no.
You don't? Okay, because you spent too much time in LA now.
Yeah, just in terms of what I do, I'm constantly immersed in the music world, and that's why I moved to Washington to write this record, is to just cut myself out of the world and to try to regain that sense of freedom and liberation that I felt when I was a child.
Right, okay. And it was not actually the city of Washington, but just the state of Washington.
The state, yes. Yeah. Right, so okay. Seattle, near Seattle.
Okay, to a more kind of remote place.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so it's, right. It's interesting because it's quite a big sounding album, though, when it doesn't actually sound, it doesn't sound that remote, does it?
No. That's Taiga, though. The Taiga is massive. It's got all these trees. It goes on Siberia, you know, it's like half of Siberia. It's just completely immense. And I wanted to create that feeling musically as well.
Right. Sie hat nämlich russische Wurzeln, sie ist zur Hälfte Russin. You didn't actually spend any time in Russia, did you, though? You not actually lived in Russia, have you?
No.
No, okay.
No.
Aber ja, sie hat russische Wurzeln, hat aber in Russland nie gelebt. Und sie sagt, dass sie dieses Album in dem Bundesstaat Washington in der Nähe von Seattle aufgenommen hat. Es ist ein ganz ruhigen, abgelegenen Ort, weil sie unbedingt die Freiheit und Befreiung irgendwie so empfinden wollte, die sie als Kind empfunden hat. Weil nach der Zeit in Los Angeles hat sie das Gefühl gehabt, so ein bisschen verdorben worden zu sein. Und sie wollte so die Reinheit von früher wiedergewinnen. Und sie meint, dass das, weil sie auf dem Land aufgewachsen ist, war sie natürlich ziemlich abgeschnitten von ihrer Außenwelt. Und sie kannte auch keine Leute, die wirklich auf Musik standen. Und sie war in der Hinsicht sehr isoliert und stand sehr alleine. Und sie sagte, dass es einfach eine große Hilfe war für sie, dass sie einfach selber so viele schöpferische Kraft hatte, um das alles selbst umzusetzen. Und deshalb hat sie nicht so viele Einflüsse gehabt, weil sie im Grunde genommen einfach nicht so vergleichbare Erziehung gehabt hat, als wenn sie in der Großstadt aufgewachsen worden wäre. So we're going to hear a song from the Versions album now, which you did with Jim Thirlwell.
Mm-hmm.
And of course he's not exactly your generation, is he? you don't mind the age difference working together with the older generation.
No, I'm just I could talk for hours about the impact he's had in my life. So.
Right, okay. Were you into all his fetus stuff?
Yes, yeah, right, okay. Definitely.
Right, so how did you actually manage to access stuff like that when you were growing up in the forest in Wisconsin?
I guess at that point it must have been the internet. My brother was really into experimental music when I was still pretty young, and he would be sliding little records under my door and
right.
things like that. But also then the internet, I could learn about things that I was interested in.
Right, okay. And it's interesting, really, because doing my homework on you, I mean, you've kind of name-dropped a few kind of really kind of classic underground bands from the 80s, you know, or even late 70s, like The Residents and Throbbing Gristle, people like that, and, as you said, Jim Thirlwell and Fetus. Kind of people of importance here, and Lydia Lunch and Swans, these kind of people. And it's interesting because I've been doing this show a long time. These are all people who've actually been on my show a long time ago. And it's interesting talking to you actually and seeing that they're actually role models for somebody who's like in the mid-20s. So it's their kind of their legacy. And it's something they're probably pretty proud of. But I know that people like Swans and Lydia Lunch are really proud of the fact that they've influenced so many people, they've taught themselves. And do you actually see yourselves in their kind of lineage, in a sense, of actually carrying on a tradition of people attempting to push the music forward?
if I could be so honored to carry on the tradition, but I guess time will tell. But yeah, I mean, I'm incredibly, incredibly thankful that they did what they did, and they're continuing to do it, because they give me hope in music and in the future, because I see what they did in the past and what they continue to do. For instance, like Jim Thirlwell, I mean, he had a great career in the 80s as Fetus and all of his little monikers. But he's continued to make really forward-thinking music. And I just find that so exciting as an artist, that you can have such a long career.
Right, okay. Ja, ich meinte auch, dass die Künstler, die sie als Vorbilder genannt hat, sind Leute wie Lydia Lunch und Swans und Fetus alias Jim Thirlwell und solche Leute. Und das sind Leute, die inzwischen sehr viele jüngere Künstler beeinflusst haben. Und ich fragte Nike, ob sie auch im Prinzip den Ehrgeiz hat, selber so einflussreich zu sein. Und sie meinte, ja, das wäre natürlich schön, wenn sie wirklich so eine Langlebigkeit haben könnte. Also jemand wie Jim Thirlwell ist durchaus ein Vorbild für sie, dass er trotz seines Alters immer noch in der Lage ist, interessante, neue, innovative Musik zu machen und nie so konservativ zu werden. So which track would you like to hear from Versions, actually? Have you got a favorite on there? Or?
Oh, yeah. I like Slow Avalanche.
Slow Avalanche,
Avalanche,
okay.
Avalanche Slow.
Right, which is the first track on the album.
Yeah.
Yeah, Avalanche Slow. Also wir hören jetzt die Version von Avalanche von Zola Jesus, zusammen mit Jim Thirlwell. It was together with this quartet, I forgot the name of the quartet, Mivos
yeah.
Quartet, that's right. And they were playing the strings on it, weren't they? Mm-hmm. That's right, yeah. And so wir hören jetzt diese Orchesterversion quasi, also mit Streichquartett, also von Zola Jesus und Jim Thirlwell. Von dem Album Versions, wir hören jetzt Avalanche Slow. So that's Avalanche Slow von Zola Jesus, zusammen mit Jim Thirlwell von dem Album Versions. Und Nika, alias Zola Jesus, ist bei mir in Studio. Were you not at all apprehensive of that project, in a sense? Because it could easily have been targeted as being a bit pretentious, doing something like neoclassical reworkings, you know what I mean? I mean, do you worry about that, your image in that respect? Or do you just not give a damn? Are you kind of so bloody mad you don't care what people think?
Yeah? I did not think about that at all.
All right.
No, it was it was wonderful and exciting, and it was completely intuitive. I knew I needed to do it. I didn't question.
No. Right, okay. And, I mean, and were you actually happy with the project? Did it turn out exactly as you wanted it to turn out? Or would you have liked to have done something differently on it? In hindsight.
No, it's exactly how I wanted it to turn out. I didn't expect it to turn out that way, because in the beginning, I just wanted to do string versions of my songs. And then once I brought JG in, it was this whole new thing, which I wasn't expecting, because I didn't expect that I'd be working with one of my heroes for him to basically remix my music. And so that was really exciting, and it totally changed the scope of the project into this much bigger thing that I never would have anticipated.
Right, okay. Ja, sie sagt, dass sie sehr zufrieden war mit dem Ergebnis, weil ich meinte, es ist ein bisschen gewagte Aktion, so Streicherversionen, so Orchesterversionen von ihren Songs zu machen. Und sie meinte, nee, sie hat sich überhaupt keine Gedanken darum gemacht, dass viele Leute sie vielleicht dafür kritisieren könnten, dass es auf irgendeine Weise so anmaßend wäre oder sie so möchte gerne Kunstanspruch hätte. Sie steht dazu, das war für sie eine tolle Herausforderung, und es ist im Prinzip genau so geworden ist, wie sie das möchte. Und es war für sie unglaublich, dass ein Held von ihr, Jim Thirlwell, überhaupt bereit war, mit ihr zusammenzuarbeiten. Does the actual the fan kind of approach, of actually being a fan and consuming music yourself, actually become a lesser factor in course of the years, do you think, because you get involved in making music yourself? Because you, once you're standing on your own two feet, maybe you're not so much dependent on inspiration from elsewhere. Or do you think it's an important aspect just to keep the passion going, to actually have these role models, have these heroes, to think, well, you know, if I could be as great as them, you know, I'm going to try to emulate these people?
I don't think it's so much about emulation, but it's about having them as this, as a safety net. They help you because they just remind you about the power of the potential of the human in the artist. Like, I think about, for this record, I've been very inspired by Maria Callas, just as a totem of, you know, how hard you can work and devote yourself to your art and relentlessly give yourself, and that it only makes it better, you know. And
sorry, I didn't catch the name, sorry.
Maria Callas.
Oh, yeah, okay, sorry. Yeah, I didn't, okay.
People like that who just, you look to them and you respect their career, you respect their integrity. And if you're going to emulate anything, you're going to emulate their integrity and not not their aesthetics or not their art. It's their the kernel of why they're doing what they're doing.
Okay. Sie sagt, dass sie gerne Vorbilder hat. Ich dachte, vielleicht ist man irgendwann frei von Heldentum irgendwie, oder dass man nicht so viele Helden haben muss, wenn man älter ist und ein bisschen selbstbewusster wird. Aber sie meinte, das ist schon eine sehr gesunde Sache, eigentlich Vorbilder zu haben, Leute, die man einfach extrem bewundert, als eine Art Sicherheitsnetz. Sie meinte, weil man hat schon das Gefühl, dass man Vergleiche stellt und man kann sich mit diesen Leuten vergleichen. Also nicht musikalisch oder künstlerisch, aber einfach was das Thema Integrität betrifft. Also das ist das, was man versucht im Prinzip dann nachzuahmen. Nicht die Kunst an sich, sondern einfach die Integrität. Das ist das Wichtigste. Einfach sich selbst treu zu bleiben. Und Maria Callas nannte sie als Beispiel für sie als der absolute Maßstab, so was Integrität betrifft, also eine Künstlerin, die sich dann wirklich so treu geblieben ist. Und das ist das, was sie wirklich unbedingt beibehalten möchte. Right, so we're going to hear something from the new album again now, Tiger. What's the next track you'd like to hear?
How about Hunger?
Hunger, okay. That's almost like a disco song, isn't it, Hunger, I think?
To me, it's like a breakcore song.
A breakcore song?
Yeah.
Okay. I thought everyone's going to start dancing to this. Yeah, it's kind of your dance floor filler.
It could be.
It could be.
Yeah.
You're hoping it's going to be, yeah.
If people can figure out a dance.
Yeah, but I mean, it's not something we think of you in terms of Bizzola Jesus being necessarily all that danceable first and foremost. You know, maybe kind of, I don't know, after party dancing.
Yeah.
You know, with a glass of red wine, but only dancing slowly so you don't spill the wine.
Of course.
You know what I mean?
There's no other way.
So, but maybe things are changing, shift of emphasis in that respect. Maybe you're going to get more danceable.
I don't know. I mean, it's just about trying things that I've never done before.
Right, okay. And this is a case in point where mm-hmm. you actually felt it was like a fresh angle for you, in a sense.
Yeah, I mean, I get bored easily. And once I figure out how to make a certain beat, I don't want to do that anymore because it just seems rote in a way. I want to keep being surprised.
Right, okay. Yeah. Also wir hören das Stück Hunger jetzt von dem neuen Album Tiger von Zola Jesus. Und ich meinte auch, also das ist ein bisschen ironisch, so eher Dancefloor-Hit. Es könnte ein Dancefloor-Hit werden. Und sie meinte ein Breakcore-Lied und ich meinte so ein Disco-Lied. Ja, jedenfalls hat eine gewisse Tanzbarkeit, die sie durchaus erstrebenswert findet, einfach weil es für sie Neuland ist und sie möchte einfach sich immer wieder erneuern. Und es gehört dazu, einfach irgendwie einen neuen Bereich auszuprobieren. Und das ist jetzt so ein Beispiel dafür. Also hören wir jetzt Hunger von Zola Jesus von dem Album Tiger. So, das war Hunger von Zola Jesus vom Album Tiger. Und bei mir steht jetzt immer noch Nika Danilova von der Band. Yeah. And what do your parents think about all this actually now? I mean, are they kind of really pleased for you? Or are they kind of really worried that you're going to fade out in a couple of years and just be a flash in the pan?
Oh my gosh. Well, no, they're very proud. But this is an extremely, it's extremely emotionally difficult, this life, and especially devoting yourself to something that's so incredibly personal, and when I fall, they fall too, and they hurt for me, so that's hard for them to watch me go through the ups and downs of being an artist in 2014, but they're so proud of me that, you know, I'm doing the thing that I've always wanted to do since I was a baby.
Right, okay, since you were a baby, in fact.
Since I was very, very young.
Okay, right. Yeah, what kind of age did you actually have that kind of notion?
I started singing when I was 4 or 5. I'd just go around the house singing hours and hours. And then I started studying opera when I was like 8 and studying piano and violin and guitar. And it just has always been a huge part of my life since I was very small.
But you didn't actually find pop music too vulgar for you then? I mean, it was...
Well, I grew up in the middle of nowhere. We had a radio station, and the only radio station we had public radio and we had pop radio. And so those are the two things that I really listened to growing up.
Right, okay. Ja, sie meint, dass ihre Eltern sehr stolz auf sie sind, aber sie machen sich ihre Sorgen, weil sie meinte, dieser Karriereweg ist schon emotional sehr anstrengend, sehr schwierig. Und es ist nicht gerade so ein einfacher Weg, den sie einschlägt. Und ihre Eltern haben sehr viel Mitgefühl für sie und machen sich auch permanent Sorgen um sie, aber die sind letztendlich sehr stolz drauf. Und es ist vor allem wichtig für Nika, dass sie das macht, was sie schon immer machen wollte. Schon als kleines Kind mit 4 oder 5 war sie klar, dass sie eigentlich Musik machen wollte. Sie hat gesungen stundenlang als kleines Kind. Sie hat als Kind eine Ausbildung als Opernsängerin gemacht und hat auch Klavier gelernt und Geige und Gitarre. Und sie meinte, dass es gab sehr wenig Möglichkeiten eigentlich, so Zugang zu Musik zu haben sonst. Es gab, sie haben Radio gehabt, so ein paar normale Popsender, ein paar öffentlich-rechtliche Programme, aber nichts Besonderes. Und sie meinte, sie hat wirklich in der Hinsicht wirklich ihr eigenes Schicksal entschieden. Sie hat wirklich ihren eigenen Weg gegangen. Do you think the opera singing that you did as a child, that must have had an effect on the way you sing now? I mean, to my mind, comparing, well, it's not necessarily really fair to compare you to other singers, but I mean, right from the word go, you came over as sounding extremely self-assured for a very young singer. Maybe more so than you maybe would have done at the age of 20. I don't know. Maybe I'm just imagining that. I don't know. But do you think it's had that influence, just actually making you more confident maybe you would have been? Because pop singers often consider themselves to be rather illiterate, don't they? They're just having a go at singing a pop song, where you probably had a greater feeling of self-assurance about it.
I don't think I've had self-assurance about what I've been doing ever.
All right, okay.
But it's been, you know, the blocks have been laid from a very young age, so maybe.
Yeah. But, I mean, could you sing opera now if you wanted to? I mean,
I could, but I'd be very uncomfortable with it because I'm not at the point, I'm not a professional opera singer, so.
Okay. Yeah. Right. You never actually did it professionally. You just,
no.
It was just like schooling you had in it or whatever.
Yeah, I just started, I studied privately all throughout childhood and adolescence, and then I went to college and I stopped singing. I just started picking it up again the past couple of years, but yeah, still got a lot of work to do.
Right, okay. So you're not going to turn into Diamanda Galas then?
Maybe one day. There's already one Diamanda, though. You can't touch her.
Okay. Right, as sie meinte, dass sie keine richtige Opernsängerin ist, weil sie es nie professionell betrieben hat. Und sie glaubt nicht, dass sie sich deshalb besonders selbstbewusst fühlt als Sängerin. Sie meinte, sie hat sich eigentlich nie besonders selbstbewusst gefühlt, was ihre Musik betrifft, eher etwas unsicher. Also so gesehen, sie weiß nicht, ob wirklich diese Ausbildung als Opernsängerin ihre Kindheit wirklich so eine große Rolle gespielt hat. Sie glaubt also eher nicht eigentlich. So, is it the case, you say you never felt that self-assured about what you do? I mean, you come over as being quite self-assured, but that is just kind of professionalism then, presumably. And you actually have a sense of doubt when it comes down to your level of artistic merit and so forth. Or
every artist does. Right. Every musician does. Every painter does. Everybody does. It's just, it's part of the process. It's part of the whole expelling. You're giving it to the public, and then you're just hoping that they take care of it. But you never really know, you know. It makes you so incredibly vulnerable to put something out into the world and watch people either take it or leave it. You know, there's no way you can feel self-assured in this world.
No, okay. And do you actually sometimes feel also that once something is done, then you almost don't really want to send it out there to the people because maybe you might want to change something in hindsight?
Yes. Like, yeah, and I feel like the moments before I give it away are the moments I love it the most. And then the minute that I give it up to the world, it changes, everything changes, because it's no longer just for you, it's for history, you know, and you just hope that they treat it kindly.
Right, okay. Ja, sie meinte, dass alle Künstler, egal wie professionell sie rüberkommen, egal wie souverän sie rüberkommen, dass sie alle darunter leiden, dass sie Selbstzweifel haben. Und sie sind natürlich gepeinigt auf irgendeine Weise, so gefolterte Künstler, die tatsächlich leiden müssen für ihre Kunst, weil es ist so ihre große Leidenschaft, aber wenn sie sich davon trennen, um es dann zu veröffentlichen, weil es dann endlich mal fertiggestellt ist, dann haben sie Angst, und sie hat auch Angst, dass tatsächlich dass die Leute das nicht richtig annehmen oder dass sie das nicht wirklich akzeptieren. Und sie meinte, sie hat schon das Gefühl, im Nachhinein hätten Sachen besser sein können und sie muss sich einfach zufrieden geben, wie das ist. So, the bottom line is, with this album, then you are pretty happy with the way it is, but you think that no art is absolutely perfect, so you think it's a flawed classic then, do you think? Or
Everything is flawed. I'm sure if you ask Kate Bush about Hounds of Love, she would say that that's flawed too, even though so many people would call it flawless.
Right.
Everything, you know, you're never confident what you're doing. You just do the best you can and hope that it's enough, really.
Right. And when it comes down to playing live, I mean, you get the impression you do a lot of work on your own, even if you work together with the producers or whatever, but you're kind of like a one-man band in people's minds. Mm-hmm. But you'll be on stage tonight with a band of sorts. And does that seem... Do they seem to like peripheral to you, or are they like a proper band for you? Is it like the Zola Jesus band? Surely not in the sense of the Rolling Stones or the Rolling Stones.
No, yeah, but when I play live, it is about the band experience. I mean, they're just as important to the music, the live music, as I am. And I give them all the due respect that they deserve because they're going through the same things I'm going through, except for interviews, you know, but when we're on the road. And so it's definitely a band experience. And they're just helping to augment the songs and bring them to life. And, you know, they deserve all of that, the credit to make that happen.
And they're not resentful that you get all the attention then?
No, because there's a lot of things that I have to deal with that they are so happy they don't have to deal with.
Right.
I'm sure. So.
Like these kind of exhausting interviews.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, so they're really chilling at the moment while
they're hanging out.
Getting really stressed out here.
No, I'm fine.
Okay. Ja, sie hat schon eine richtige Band, aber die Leute vergessen ein bisschen vielleicht, dass sie eine Band hat, weil viele Leute denken, dass Nike ist einfach Solo Jesus, eine Art so Ein-Mann-Kapelle quasi, aber das ist gar nicht der Fall. Sie ist die treibende Kraft natürlich, was die Musik betrifft, aber gerade live, wenn es um das Live-Erlebnis geht, dann geht es um eine Umsetzung in einer Band. Und sie meinte, dass sie wirklich richtige, ausgelastete Musiker sind, die sehr viel dazu beitragen. Man soll dann ihren Beitrag nicht unterschätzen. Right, okay. Well, thanks very much for coming out to talk to me. And what would you like to hear to finish off then?
How about Lawless?
Yes, I'm glad you picked that. It's actually my favorite.
Oh, good.
Yeah. It's also the longest track on the album, but that's not the reason it's my favorite.
Oh, okay.
I don't just automatically go for the long songs, but I did happen to notice it's slightly longer than the others, isn't
yeah.
it? Yeah. There's no particular reason for that, though. But
just needed it.
Yeah, okay. But I thought, you know, because I'd heard the singles, obviously, and then I heard the album, I thought, well, that was the track that stood out for me. Mm-hmm. You know, I probably, if I'd been the A&R man, I probably would have put it out as a single.
Yeah, I'm very proud of that one.
Good, okay. So wir hören jetzt das Stück Lawless, das sie sehr stolz drauf, und das ist auch mein Lieblingsstück von dem neuen Album von Tiger von Solo Jesus. Also es passt also, mein Lieblingsstück, und sie ist auch stolz drauf. Well, thanks very much anyway, and have a good time tonight.
Thank you.
Okay. So, das war's dann. Der Nachtclub mit Paul Baskerville mit Nike Rosa Danilova, mein Studiogast. Und ich wünsche euch eine gute Nacht.
NDR Info. Nachrichten.